This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne, and talk a little football right now. We'll circle back to the Astros in the next segment. They beat the Yankees last night 8-3 to take a commanding 3-1 lead in the ALCS. Joining us right now on the line, Radio.com NFL. Radio.com Sports, I should say, NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by the all-new gas-powered Sprinter, not printer, Sprinter.
Yeah, Ross.
From Mercedes-Benz. Ross joining us on the line. Yeah, the copy said printer last week.
Ross. Sean was promoting a gas-powered printer, yeah. Which we spent about 5 minutes on that and blew through a break imagining what a gas-powered printer would look like and how many pages per minute it might get.
Oh, that would be amazing.
You know, the funny thing
I love it.
The funny thing about that is that I actually drive a Sprinter, and I didn't pick up on it until like 2 minutes
yeah,
into
thanks,
it.
Yeah, thanks, teammate. How you doing, Ross?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good, man. The Texans are coming off a win over the Chiefs last week. It's been a big week. It feels like the Texans are drifting into the national media conscience now. Deshaun Watson getting mentioned in MVP conversations. How sustainable is some of the stuff that we saw with the Texans last week as they go forward with this next patch of the schedule?
Well, I would say very sustainable. And, I mean, even just last night and what happened with Patrick Mahomes could have a huge impact on the complexion of the entire AFC. I mean, you go back to last week's game, second week in a row, and I know you guys have talked about it, but you also know over the years on your show how disappointed I've been in the Texans' offensive line, and especially in Deshaun Watson's, you know, propensity to hold on to the ball and take sacks. To have two games in a row with no sacks is a really big deal. That's a hard thing to accomplish in the NFL. I remember we went on a run when I was in Buffalo, and Bledsoe would give every offensive lineman $500 cash if we gave up no sacks. It was awesome. So that was like we were heavily incentivized. We probably had 4 or 5 games during our winning streak where we got that, which was amazing. So, but I remember that because I remember it's hard to do. So it's a great sign for the offensive line. It's a great sign for Deshaun that he's getting rid of the ball faster. They ran the ball very effectively. And I'll be, oh, everybody can run on Kansas City. Well, Denver couldn't last night, so that's a good sign. I'm a Carlos Hyde fan. He's one of those guys that, like, the fantasy people hate, and I get it. He's never going to have a glamorous yards per carry, but a lot of times he's going to get the tough yards. So I'm a fan of what he's doing. And then you think about it, and I'm sure you guys have touched on this, but, like, the Will Fuller drops could have been worse. I mean, they could have won by a decent amount more.
Yeah, no doubt.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's interesting you brought up Carlos Hyde because I've become a fan of his as well. One thing that we hear from around here a lot, especially people who own Duke Johnson in fantasy leagues, is, hey, look at Duke Johnson's yards per carry. Look at all this. I like to call this the C.J. Spiller effect, which is when C.J. Spiller was in Buffalo, he had 5 yards of carry and he looked incredible. And all of a sudden, once you throw him into a situation in New Orleans where he's supposed to be more of a feature back, things change a whole ton. What would you tell the fantasy owners of Duke Johnson about whether or not he should be used more?
Well, I understand where they're coming from. I would tell them that there's a reason why they didn't use him more in Cleveland. And I think that he is a specific player in the passing game, third downs, in space. And I think he is a unique player. He is a very good player. But they want to make sure they have him for the long haul. I mean, at this point, I'd have to check my power rankings, you know, but the Texans might be my second highest ranked AFC team now with the Mahomes injury last night. So they should have aspirations to really be in this thing for the long haul. And you want Duke Johnson to be a part of that. I mean, you want the 1-2 punch of Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson, and they both have specific skill sets and things that they do well. Hyde is a really tough, hard-nosed inside runner. As a result, he's never going to have the yards per carry that people want. He's probably not going to have very many splash plays. You know what he is? He's the type of player that former offensive linemen like me and defensive linemen like you, Seth, like a lot more than fantasy people or fans, because we just understand and appreciate, I guess, a little bit more, you know, how hard it is to get the yards that Hyde gets and how appreciative we are of him sticking his nose in there, running through people, running into walls, essentially, to get the hard yardage.
You know, that's a great point, Ross, and I'm putting myself in the position of a defensive lineman, going back to what it was like playing against Terrell Davis. The problem with Terrell Davis was obviously the big home run hits and all that, his big runs, but some of the most demoralizing stuff was that you would be playing really well as a defense, but he was still getting 4 yards. You'd play a play perfectly, you'd hit him, but he's always falling and driving forward for 4 yards. So that's where you're exactly right. When I watch Carlos Hyde, I think of defensive linemen having to face him and thinking, wow, we just had a good play, and yet it's 2nd and 5. And that, over the course of 4 quarters, really adds up.
It absolutely does. And look, I mean, it was a huge factor in that game on Sunday against Kansas City. Huge factor. Honestly, I think the running back rotation, I think they're doing it just about right now.
Ross Tucker joining us on Sports Radio 610. So, Ross, we just spent some of the last few minutes here talking about Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson, the offensive line for the Texans, which, of course, Laremy Tunsil has been a huge part of their improvement. These are all moves that Bill O'Brien, or Seth and I like to call the GM persona of Bill O'Brien, William O'Brien. We have different names for his different personas. Is it possible that William O'Brien, general manager of the Texans, is actually doing a hell of a job right now? Those are all moves that he made.
Well, I think both of those moves have turned out to be positives for the team, and I think he deserves credit for that. Now, let's see what Laremy Tunsil's contract is. Let's see how he ends up playing over the long haul. But certainly in the short term, that was a good move. I think we knew it would be a good move in the short term, right? I mean, you're getting a pretty good left tackle when you have none. So I thought that was a good short-term move. The real issue is when they don't have those picks the next couple years, and maybe they're still a step behind, let's say, New England or Kansas City in subsequent years, and they don't really have ammo to overcome them. So I think in the short term, those were going to be good moves. I would still submit to you and probably take till my death that if you're going to make those moves the way they did, I just don't understand why you would give away Jadeveon Clowney, because the defense is not playing as high of a level as they could. And if they had him, man, another really big-time difference-making player on that side of the ball. You know, I already think that they might be the second-best team in the AFC if Mahomes is out for a while. Certainly, maybe even if he's not. I mean, even if he comes back, it sounds like he'll have a brace on and really won't be able to move around very much. And Buffalo is good, but I would like Houston in that matchup, especially since the game would be in Houston. But I don't know. I guess I just feel like if they had Clowney, they would have a much better chance of actually going into New England and winning in January.
What about, we were talking about this yesterday, because I haven't watched a ton of Clowney, but when I have, he is attracting a lot of attention, but his box scores have not been impressive. But there are other stats that show he's the most double-teamed player in the league. And I guess that's where, right now in Houston, we kind of collectively, I think, as a fan base, feel like, look, they're not missing Clowney that much. And yet, at the same time, the defense hasn't performed particularly well. We're bending but not breaking. And I think that's what they're doing as well as they could. You really think, though, given that Whitney Mercilus has stepped in and had some good production, you still think that Clowney would have made that much more of a difference with the Texans this year?
Well, I think that there's just a big difference in general between having 2 pass rushers and 3 pass rushers. You know, guys that really can get there. I mean, imagine, and this is a whole other topic, but I don't know why, and you could maybe explain to me, Seth, I don't know why for the longest time they didn't spend more time with Clowney outside on one side, Mercilus outside on the other side, and Watt rushing inside.
Yeah.
Like, they never did that as much as I would have done that. I mean, are you kidding me? Having those three guys?
Yeah, and we kind of wondered about that because JJ's transformed into an edge rusher. At times this year, he's moved inside a little bit more, I think. But I think more than anything, it was that JJ missed 2 years to injury.
Wear and tear.
And so even on passing downs, I think there was a feel that you wanted to keep him out of the traffic as much as possible, which I get. But it was frustrating because you figure, wow, JJ, if you could just isolate JJ on a lowly guard, he's not going to get hurt. He's only going to get hurt injuring the quarterback or, you know, on his way to ramming his own face in the ground because he hit the quarterback too hard. I don't see
a big difference rushing from the outside or rushing from the inside. I mean, I guess it could be an obvious passing down and they still run like some type of power or counter and he has to take on a double team.
Yeah.
So I guess I could see that. But even if that's the case, okay, then don't do it that much in the regular season. But for one game in late January in Foxborough, Massachusetts, I don't think you'd have a problem with it. You know, I mean, I think you'd be okay rushing from the inside in that game. And so we'll see. Maybe they can win anyway. Maybe Deshaun Watson. And look, I mean, you guys have never been to a conference championship game, right? So, like, even if they get to that point, that would be a huge step up. But I'm looking at the AFC right now, and I think the Texans have as good a chance as anybody. I mean, like I said, on the Ross Tucker podcast, I do power rankings. I think I probably had them third, maybe after the Buffalo Bills as well. But that game would be in Houston because the Bills are going to be a wild card. I don't see the Bills winning in Houston. The trajectory that the Texans are on right now is one of having a very good chance to be in the AFC championship game. But I will say this, this Sunday is a huge, huge game for them. I mean, because you look at the AFC West, look at the AFC North, maybe Baltimore, because I'm just not buying the Chiefs, whether Mahomes is out for the year and he has surgery or whether he's trying to play with that dislocated kneecap and the knee brace, keeping it in place, and that usually doesn't go very well. So I'm kind of discounting the AFC West. AFC North has Baltimore. I like the Texans more than I like Baltimore. So if they can win this game on Sunday, especially in Indy, and get a leg up there, I think the ceiling is very high for this Texans season all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's a massive swing game on Sunday, I should say. A game you can hear right here on Sports Radio 610. Seth and I get it started with the pregame at 9 a.m. Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by the all-new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz. Catch Ross every weekday on Home and Home, his new show out now on radio.com/home or search home on the radio.com app. Ross, we appreciate it as always. Enjoy the games this weekend, my man.
Yeah, do I have time for one quick point?
Sure.
All right, so I made this point yesterday on Home and Home, and I appreciate you plugging that. It's a fun show. After I saw the quotes, and this is actually before I saw the quotes from Adam Silver about Daryl Morey, how unbelievable is it that Daryl Morey tweeted something that I don't know the exact figures, but obviously could or will cost his employer millions of dollars. But because it's now become this huge deal, there is no way the Rockets will fire Daryl Morey because that would be such a PR nightmare. I mean, Silver said yesterday, China wanted us to fire him. That's not happening. There will be no discipline at all. This guy, I mean, this is like a George Costanza Seinfeld move. The guy literally tweeted something, which is stupid in of itself, that cost his employer millions, but it was such a big deal that it would be such a PR nightmare to fire him that it gave him the ultimate job security. I've never seen anything like it.
I never thought about mixing it with the actual basketball side of things to where if this Westbrook experiment fails and the Rockets miss the playoffs or something, Morey might have 2 years of immunity because he doesn't want to – nobody would ever want to make it look like he was fired for the China thing.
It's not just immunity. It's diplomatic immunity.
Diplomatic
immunity. Daryl Morey, for the next 2 years, has diplomatic immunity because he tweeted something that cost his employer millions. I mean, only in America.
It might be a billion.
And Danny Glover will not be there to revoke it either. Absolutely not. Hey, Ross, we appreciate it.
See you guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. It's better over here.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.